prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight, all that you're doing, and forgive me, Lord, for forgetting all the things that were written down there on that piece of paper. But Father, tonight, again, we do lift up Stephanie, Lord, who should be probably landing sometime tonight. Lord, just being with her, protecting her, keeping her in all of her ways, and Lord, for Jacob, as he travels to Peru, and really back to Peru, Lord, this coming Friday, keep him safe, bless him and prosper him in all that he does. And Lord, we pray again over Harvest America, our involvement with them. Lord, we're so thankful. Just bless all that they're doing, all the workers and all the people here who are going to be involved in that great work. And Father, we also pray. I pray tonight for Harley and Georgine. Lord, I just feel in my heart that there maybe that flu has hit him again. Just touch him, be with them both, Lord, and all that have, Vita and her family who I just received yesterday or last night, they have the flu, Lord. Just be with them, and Lord, bring healing to all of us and protect us from that wicked thing. In Jesus' name, and bless this word tonight, amen and amen. Let's turn in your Bibles. Tonight, you're going to be turning in three or four different areas, so be prepared for that, or be prepared to take some lengthy notes. I'm not going to be tonight. You know, we finished 2 Kings. We teach through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. But since we did finish the book last week, I'm going to take a break before we start another book, meaning that I'm going to teach a few topical sermons, maybe for the next three or four Wednesdays or however long the Lord wants me to, and then we'll start a new book in the Old Testament. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the greatest place in all of the universe, the greatest resource center for the believer in all of the world, and that is heaven. Amen? You know, have you ever, like for example, have you ever noticed how heaven is a very popular word in our culture in America? You know, oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? Things like that. If you, for example, if you go to Amazon.com, and that's what I did, and if you type in heaven in the search box, you will find over 100,000 different options to choose from. But you know what? If you go and Google heaven, do you know what the results would be? 650 million hits in 52 seconds, okay? That's what it was. So heaven is a very popular word, but heaven should be one of the most important words in our vocabulary, amen? For heaven is our home. And you know, I've noticed that sometimes it seems that in our culture today for believers and even for non-believers that we plan, research, study deeply as we plan, say, a vacation. We're going to take this road or we're going to this plane or this train or go down Route 66 or whatever. We're going to stay at this hotel, see this, whatever. We plan that out so carefully and yet know all about it, but when it comes to our eternal home, we don't really, it doesn't just gel with us for some reason. You know, listen, this year, Malachi 3:10 is the word that God has given unto us. Remember that Malachi 3:10, you know, where it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, you know, there might be meat and so forth. Listen, the main theme of Malachi 3:10 is not tithes and offerings. Remember what the main theme is. It's the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. That's why the Lord says, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. That word means to test me. See if I'm worthy to do, you know, in other words, the faithfulness of God. And man, listen, you know, the Bible is so clear, you know, about trusting God and so forth. But tonight I'd like to focus on that place of every blessing where it says in Malachi 3:10, God says, you know what? If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, the windows of heaven, and pour out you a blessing, such a blessing, there'll not be room enough for you to receive it. You know, there is never any fear in trusting the faithful God who cannot lie. Amen? Amen. He'll always take care of us. So the first thing I want you to know tonight about heaven is that heaven is the dwelling place of God. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be there in about 5 minutes, but that's where we're going to really start tonight, is in Matthew chapter 6. But heaven is a dwelling place of God. It says in Isaiah chapter 66:1, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, meaning everything in the entire universe, says the Lord. But upon this one will I look, upon him who is poor of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. In other words, God is saying again, prove me now. The things that I have said in the word of God, prove me, test me, see if I'm not worthy and so forth. You know, isn't it amazing that God, who created everything, who owns everything, you know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell there within. God owns everything. Amen? Everything. The breath that we breathe, he owns it. He could stop it in a moment if he so chose. Listen, but God says, out of all the things that I've made, the stars, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, I mean, have you ever just looked at the you know, like the Hubble and all the pictures that it's taking of the universe? Incredible beauty. But God says, you know, out of everything I have, everything that I've made, this is the one that I look at. I look at you. You that tremble at my word. You that prove me. You that say, I believe you, God, with all of my heart. Someone once said this, one teardrop from earth summons the King of heaven. What a great word that is. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been given all authority in heaven and upon this earth. He is seated at the right hand of God. Let me tell you what, he is in control. We don't have anything to worry about. Amen? Heaven is a place of our greatest gain and our greatest resource. It says in Psalm 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Psalm 10:16, the Lord is king forever and ever. Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, one of my favorite verses, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, or let us actually give thanks by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Listen to me. How important is heaven? I'll tell you something. It's the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God. Do you know it is the only kingdom, the only thing in all of the universe that cannot be shaken? Do you understand? That is the kingdom of God. You know, we belong to the unshakable kingdom, which means we should be an unshakable people. Amen? We have absolutely nothing to fear. All the world is constantly shaking. Man, they go up, they go down. Christian, listen, if you are shaking, and sometimes we do, but if you are shaking, why don't you check out what you're building your life on? Amen? Check it out. Because you don't need to be shaking, loved one. We don't have any continuing city here. Thank God, but boy, do we seek one that is to come. So the second thing is, heaven is a place that we seek. In other words, there you will find the answer to your every need and your every desire. So we seek the place that we are citizens of. We're citizens of heaven. Remember what Jesus said? He said, seek and ye shall find. Are you in Matthew chapter 6 yet? Amen. In verse 25, we know the story very well. I'm not going to read it all, what Jesus is saying here on the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about worry. Don't worry about anything in your life. He didn't say not to plan your life and or care about your life. He said, just don't worry. Don't be torn apart by your life. And he goes on and he starts talking about the things that we need in life. And then he says in verse 33, he says, Jesus says, but seek first. That means in your priority list, the very first thing you're to do is to seek first the kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God, if you will, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you, not taken away from you. In other words, what things? Well, if we read the whole thing in context, it would be the things we eat, the things we drink, the clothes that we wear. In other words, all the life's needs. God, and it goes, if you read the verse above that, I think it's verse 32, it says, you know, for all these things the Gentiles seek, the lost people seek. He says, but listen, your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. Did you catch that word, heavenly? Our Father which art in heaven, amen. Oh, listen, he knows everything that you need. Heaven is the greatest resource in the universe for the believer. You know what Jesus is telling us to do there? He's saying, why don't you stop right now tonight? Maybe you're a burden. Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you came here tonight and you're going, you've got to speak to me. Here it is. Jesus just told us, he said, stop worrying and start seeking. That's where your answer is. Everything you need is there. The Proverbs 8:17 says, God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Listen now, you can't prove God, prove me now as God says, unless you seek him. And when you seek him, what's the promise? You'll find him. He's waiting for you right now. He's not going to leave you. He loves you. Now listen, what an incredible word that we just read from Jesus. Why is Jesus telling us to make it the top priority in our lives to seek his kingdom? I'll tell you why. Because the provisions, the resources of the world that we live in, they'll fail you. Do you understand? They will fail you. The world that we live in, America, is like the stock market. Do you know what I mean? It goes up, it goes down. It's driven by fear. Amen? It feeds off of fear and so forth. It's ruled by fear. But see, God's resources in heaven, there's not a stock market there. Do you understand? He is in complete control. Everything you need is there, and it will never fail. So let me read Psalm 103:19 again. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Listen, every person on earth could say, you know what? I don't believe in the Holy One of Israel. I do not believe in God. Do you think that would change God? Do you think that would make God, well, I just don't have any control anymore? Oh, no, listen, you know what? This whole world can fall apart, and God is still on the throne. Amen? Amen? Yeah, he remains in absolute control. Now, the third thing I want to say to you tonight is, why are we to seek heaven? I want you to turn to Colossians and look at chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, it says this. Since then you were raised, Colossians 3:1, since you were raised with Christ, here it comes, seek, or literally keep seeking those things which are above. What is above? Heaven. Keep seeking those things which are above, but literally here it would mean a person. It says where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It says raised with Christ. We are so in union with Christ. We are so joined to Christ. Listen, that when Jesus died, we died. Amen? When he was raised, we were raised with him. When he ascended, we ascended, positionally speaking. It says that we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Why are we to seek heaven? Jesus just told us, or Paul rather, because if we do not seek things above, we will never live above the world that we're in right now. We'll never live above it. We need to seek those things. Boy, we need to go to the throne and stay at the throne as much as we can. Because if you go there to that wonderful throne of grace, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find your king, your God. You're going to find your deliverer, your rescuer. You're going to find your plan that is his plan for you in your life. You're going to find your purpose in this life. Listen, he is always there to give us perfect direction. Now look at verse 2. It says, set your what? Set your mind on things. That's heaven, things above. Not on things on the earth. Now, that's not talking about material possessions and all that stuff, okay, loved one? God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But it tells us here that really for a believer, there are really only two places that you can set your mind, earth or heaven. And what happens is that wherever we and whatever we set our minds on will determine really what we seek after in this life. Isn't it amazing that God in His Word said, He said, set your mind. He did not say, set your heart. Set your mind. Why is that? Well, you know, when you're born again, God gives you a new heart. You have a brand new nature, partakers of His divine nature. But your mind is not renewed, is it? No, you have to renew your mind. Only a renewed mind, when you're in God's Word, only a renewed mind will seek those things above, because you know what you need, what you need to do in your life. See, your mind, like Paul taught us in Romans 12, he said, your mind is either being conformed to the things of this world or transformed, amen, by the renewing of your mind to the Word of God. That's what we need to be doing. You see, the mind, for example, if you watch news all the time, do you know that really after a while, it starts producing fear in your life? Have you ever noticed that? You know, the flu season. How much more can you hear about the flu? The flu. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm doing the this now. I don't shake your hand. Don't shake my hand. I walk in my office. I come in. I have that, what do you call that stuff? You spray Lysol. You know, you walk into my office. Paul just walked into my office. I sprayed him down. I don't know where he's been today, you know? Man, turn around, you know. Now, I didn't really do that, but I wanted to. No, listen, you know, the Bible, where you keep your mind is important. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on self, whose mind watches the nightly news over and over and over. No, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. That again is that prove me now, saith the Lord. You trust in God. You trust in His Word. So why does God want you to set your mind on things above and not things upon this earth? Because heaven, loved one, is the only thing that is going to last. Do you understand? It says in 1 John 2:15, you know the scripture as well as I do, do not love the world, do not love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean that we're to isolate ourselves or our children from the world, but it does mean we are to insulate them. It says for all, or literally everything that is in the world, this world system that is antichrist, it says that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And here it comes. And the world is passing away. It's passing away. It's temporary. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he says, we do not look at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We live in the seen world. We see it, it's temporary, and it's perishable. The unseen world, heaven, all the host of God's army, whatever, they are not seen, yet they are eternal and they are permanent. That's why this next verse in Colossians in verse 3 is so important. It says, for you, Christian, look what you did. You died. That's a past fact and a present reality. When did you die? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Man, you died. It says, for you died, and look what happened. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. That word hidden there speaks of incredible security, a permanent condition. In other words, our life, when we come to Christ, our life, we are safely laid up with Christ Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, the fourth thing that I want to tell you tonight about heaven is that heaven is the place of our treasure. Just go back to the Gospel of Matthew, please, and look at chapter 6 again, and look at verse 19 with me. It says, Jesus said, do not lay up, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, don't live your entire life trying to accumulate riches. Amen? Don't do that. There's nothing wrong with money, but that's not what it's talking about. In other words, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have a retirement account or a savings account or insurance or homes or cars, and it's certainly not speaking that you shouldn't be, there's anything wrong with having money, in other words, being wealthy, as long as it doesn't possess you, right? Now, look what it says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Moths. What do moths do? All of those Patriot jerseys that you have hanging in your closet, in your drawer. You know, the moths are just going to eat them up. And look what it... isn't that in the Bible? And it says, for you know that moth, and look at that, rust destroy all those Patriot souvenirs that you have. Oh, no. And it says, where thieves break in and steal, that like the eagles who just kind of fly in and devour their prey. Amen? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the only time that I have ever seen my wife jump in the living room is when they won that game. She's never emotional during football. Look what it says. Jesus said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let me tell you something. Planet Earth is a bad investment. It is a horrible investment because Jesus just said it is absolutely certain that you're going to lose everything on earth. You're not going to stay here. Amen? You're going to lose it all. Listen, man has always said, get as much as you can while you can. Nothing wrong with having money, loved one, okay? You know that possessions and wealth is the answer. No, no. Jesus says, listen, heaven is your answer. That's where I am. I rule. I have all authority. I have all power. Listen, we belong to him. That's how important heaven is. And then Jesus says, for where your treasure is, present tense, there is your heart will be also in the future, in other words. So choosing the things that perish over the things that will never perish, oh, what a terrible mistake that would be. You know, every Christian, all of us, daily, weekly, we should check out our heart and see what kind of treasure is there. Is Jesus still your treasure? Is he still your first love? Amen? Is he still the one that's planning your life, leading you, and you're following him, and so forth? Now, the fifth thing that I want to say is that we are confident. We know that if you are a believer, that heaven is your home. You know, Spurgeon said this. I love what he said about heaven. In one of his books he was writing, and he said this, I beg you to convince yourselves as being in heaven. Oh, and you would say, what? Are these streets of gold? Are these walls of jasper? Am I here in white robe? Am I really here with a crown on my head? Am I here singing? Oh, I who once groaned, profusion of happiness, wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, what a world I am in, and oh, that I am here. This is the greatest miracle of all, and yet it is true. And that is the glory of it all. Heaven is true. Heaven is a real place. It's not some bedtime story, amen? Heaven is our home. Isn't it amazing? Everybody says, I want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get there. Death is the beginning of forever, loved one. Yes. You know, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I know this is a chore for you because you're not used to turning your Bibles when I teach. So this is a good lesson. It makes you find, you know. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know, talking about we believers, we don't just hope, we don't expect, man, listen, it's a settled fact. We believe God. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed. In other words, taken down, dissolved by death. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. eternal in the heavens. How important is heaven, loved one? It is so important. Listen, you see this tent? This is a tent. We look at each other, tents. Paul was telling me the day that he was able to go with his son and they went to Cabela's. You know what Cabela's is, right? What is it? It's a sporting goods place, right? They have tents there. Okay, is a tent something you're going to be in the rest of your life? No. See, tents are temporary. This body that I have, it is temporary. Man, and I'm so glad because it's definitely not my home. It's just, I just have it until I go home. Amen? So when Paul says tent, it means that the world is not our home. One day, I'm going to step out of this tent, this temporary, into the permanent. Amen? And that's what's going to happen to you as well. Look at verse 2. For in this we, what? We groan. Man, why are we groaning? Because we earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, that intense longing, if you will, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality, meaning our mortal part, may be swallowed up by life or transformed into life. Man, listen, when we get that, what glory that is going to be. We live in a tent that is groaning for our new home and our new body. No wonder it says in Romans 8:23, Paul says, "Oh, for we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption," and here it is, "the redemption of our body." Do you ever just groan and say, oh, how wonderful it's going to be never to be attacked again in your mind? Never to have another doubt? Never to have another sad thought? Never to have another struggle in your life? Never to have another battle in your life? To never have to go to the throne of grace and confess never a failure again? Do you not groan that you're in this sinful body, this dead man that we're tied to? I do, and I can't. It's going to be good. And then he says in verse 5, now he who prepared us for this very thing is God. And look what, who also has given us the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, as the guarantee or the down payment, the earnest deposit, if you will, so we are always confident, not sometimes confident, always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, this tent, if you will, we are absent from the Lord. Now listen, why is it that a believer, we don't have to be afraid of dying? I don't want to die, and neither do you. You know, we have eternity, like Ecclesiastes said, eternity has been put in our hearts by the living God. We know that we don't want to die. We want to live forever. But the fact of the matter is that we don't have to fear death because, see, God has given us the Holy Spirit as that down payment. He lives inside of us, man. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit is our seal. He is the pledge of ownership, our security. It means that what God started in you the day of your new birth, he will complete. Remember, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. The very day. You know, I shared this story with you, I'm sure, a few times over the years, but I remember that this family that I used to work for, they were all believers, and the little kids, they were like my kids. I mean, I watched them grow up, and I loved them. They loved me, and one of the little girls, she kept a little book. I still have it. Matter of fact, it's right in there in my file cabinet, and a little notebook, and they drew a picture of me in it. And, like I had no front teeth and, you know, my hair was sticking straight up and, I was all messed up, you know, like a scar and Band-Aids all over me and, you know, and it said, Bill, God will perfect those things concerning you. Psalm 138:8. He will perfect those things concerning you. He's going to get you home. Amen. That's why heaven is so important. Listen, one day, that glorification. You know, like it says in Ephesians 1:13, let me read it to you. It says, in him, meaning Jesus, you also trusted, and here's when we trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, listen to what it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And listen to how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, meaning our body, to the praise of his glory. We are, if we are in Christ, we are eternally secure until the very end, and then forever and ever and ever. Amen. Listen, Romans 8 starts with what? No condemnation, and it ends with no separation. Listen, there has to, if someone's going to get you out of the hands of God, they're going to have to be more powerful than God. Amen. Now, turn one more time, your last time to turn, over to the Gospel of John with me and look at a verse that you know very well with all of your heart. John chapter 14. And I want you to look at verse 1. There in the upper room, in the great upper room discourse, we just studied this not too long ago. Jesus said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many abiding places, many dwelling places. Then Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. He told that to his disciples, but that is for us as well, loved one. Listen, when Jesus says, I go, we know that meant he was going to the cross first, then to the tomb, and then the ascension, resurrection, ascension, and so forth. But listen, Jesus is our forerunner. Amen? A forerunner was one who cleared the path for others to follow. So you see, the path has been cleared the whole way. Our sins have been forgiven. They are as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Oh, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to go to prayer place for you, and for you right now. And you know what? We have a home in heaven. Why heaven? You ever ask yourself that? Why heaven, Lord? I'll tell you why. Because there's absolutely nothing on this planet that can truly satisfy a person. Nothing. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you can end up saying, I hate my life, I'll kill myself. You see it every day. I mean, money is not going to make you happy. Money's not going to give you joy. You know, having all the power, all the wealth, that's not going to do it. But I'll tell you something, because earth can't satisfy, but boy, heaven can satisfy. What a joy that is going to be. Listen, we say it all the time, oh, if I'd only had this home, I'd be okay. There, listen, we all know that you need a home. We know that. God knows that. But you know what? You say, oh, if I just had this car, if I just had a body like Bill, you know? That's humor, loved one. Or if I had this much money, or if only the Patriots had won. I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. No. That's okay. I know that emails are coming. But never mind. I'm not going to go there. The reason things on earth will never satisfy any person, any man, any woman, you know what it is? It's because, loved one, listen, we want eternal things. We need eternal answers, and we have them in God's word. I thank God for that. You see, the prodigal son, what did he do? He went out and into the world, took his dad's money, the inheritance, and he wasted on prodigal living. Did it satisfy him? No, it didn't satisfy him at all. He lived for the world, and you know what he discovered? All that he ever wanted, all that he ever needed, and all that he ever desired was in his Father's house. Amen. He came to himself and he went back home. Listen, one day, I don't know, we all have a day. It's appointed unto man once to die. That's a divine moment. Only God knows when that's going to happen. You know, but you know what? One day we're going to step out of time. We're going to step into eternal, everlasting eternity, and we're going to step into our perfect home. I think about that, and I just think of a place where no one ever cries, where death is just a thing that's not even heard of. There's not going to be a tear in anyone's eye. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sorrow. Nothing like that will ever, ever be experienced in our home in heaven. Heaven is a real place, a glorious place. That's why Jesus said, he goes on, look what he said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me read the J.B. Phillips translation. Jesus said, I'm coming again to welcome you into my own home, and that you may be where I am. Listen, one day Jesus is going to come and take us home. You know what I'm saying? What a glorious day. He's going to be taking us. I don't know when it's going to happen. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's the best kept secret in all the universe, isn't it? Jesus told us in Matthew 24:36, but that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:44, he says, therefore ye be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow, meaning the snatching away of the church. Amen. I mean, who knows what is going to happen? We don't know. But we are to be an expectant people. The sixth thing that I want to tell you tonight as we start closing out to go home is that the Bible is the only book in the world that tells you how to get to heaven. Amen? It says, look what Jesus said in verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus made an incredible statement. He said, I am not a way. I am the only way. Do you hear me? Jesus is the only way, and the only way is a person. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm the only way home, guys. There is no other way to heaven. He says, I am not a truth. I am the truth. Everything that I am body, perfect, divine truth without error. I am God. He said, and I am the life. Jesus is the source of all life. All life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not only in heaven, but here as well. But the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Whenever we as believers, we're on the narrow way, amen? The narrow way which leads to life, which leads home to heaven. Man, listen, it's going to be glorious when we're there. You know, I'm not saying that we should be so heavenly minded that we're not any earthly good, but I promise you that whenever heaven becomes a motivation, not just a destination, things change in your life. Because you start realizing who you are. You really are citizens of heaven. This world is not your home. It'll never be your home. And no one can come to God the Father. No one can make it to heaven except only through Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. No one. There is no middle ground. There's only one road that leads to heaven and to God the Father. Not many roads lead to God. Just one road. Every religion on this earth and every generation is excluded except one, and that is Christianity. Amen. There's absolutely no other way. And not everyone will go to heaven. Isn't that sad? That's so heartbreaking. You know, I have a list of lost people that I'm praying for. I want them with all, I mean, I witness to them, but I mean, I am praying that God touch their heart, saves them, amen? Because see, if they're not saved, what's going to happen? You understand? Oh, dear Lord. You know what? There are only two, not three, not four, but only two eternal homes. Only two. And we both know where they are. See, death is not the end. Death is only the beginning of forever. Amen. Listen, isn't it sad? In a way, it's not sad. Well, it is sad. Man has a choice. I wish God would have said, maybe it just make me a robot. But that, then it wouldn't work that way, would it? Man has a choice. God's incredible grace through his Son, Jesus Christ, or the judgment. What a sad thing. I mean, who would turn down heaven? Here's eternal hell. The Bible, Jesus, what did he tell us in Matthew 25, 41? Hell was not prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. God cries out. He says, you know, why would you die? Turn to the Lord. Live again. It says live in Ezekiel. Oh, listen. I said, oh, why is that? You know, God in his grace is so incredible. Do you know the last invitation that he gives in the Bible? The very last invitation. Let me read it to you in Revelation 22, 17. And it says, and the Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Meaning that gift of eternal life that Jesus paid for every person who would trust in him when he died upon the cross. Man, to be lost forever and ever, to live this life and think this is all that there is, what a sad thing. I am so thankful. All the people that tried to lead me to the Lord that I shunned in my young days, I'm so thankful that that last one, that I listened, that my heart was open, that I was and born again. Heaven. You know what? We're all going to be there together. Amen. And we're going to really love one another. We're really going to get along. And there's no football in heaven. Amen. Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here and Jesus Christ is not their Lord, if they're straddling the fence, they're living for the world, not living for God, whatever, Lord, please let them not leave this place tonight until they have settled it in their hearts that Jesus be the Lord of their life. That they would come to this altar, Lord, where they'll find godly men and women who will love them. Oh, don't let them leave here, Lord, if they don't know you. I know, Father, on Wednesday nights is mainly family night. But I always, Lord, want to make that invitation, for we never know who's here. I pray that you save them tonight if they're not saved. Anyone, even those that are listening live, Lord, sitting at home on their couch or maybe driving in the car, whatever, they're not saved. Let them pull the car over on the road right now. Pray, oh Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Save me. Make me your son. Make me your daughter. I believe. Save me. Forgive me. There's no one like you, Lord. Who do we have in heaven but you? Bless your people tonight, Lord. Prosper them in everything that they do. Let your strength be their strength. Let your peace be their peace. And let your joy be their joy. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.